Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the Pisgah Podcast.
We are your hosts. I'm Drew, that's Mangler, and we're coming to you live from a seasonal trail.
Well, Drew, we've had quite the summer break, maybe too much.
Yeah, sorry, guys. It's officially fall. The downhill season is somewhat behind us, and we're back on this podcast train. I've got to say, for the most part, we've both been really busy this summer, but the times that we haven't been busy, we've admittedly taken it a little bit easier rather than podcasting.
Yep, you're not wrong, but we've got a ton of great stuff in the hopper for all you listeners, and yeah, big sorry for sleeping on so much lately. With downhill races, trips, jobs, and well, just, it's been a really good riding season. It's been kind of hard to get on the computer and, you know, do work type of stuff.
But we're back on it, and we got plenty of stuff to talk about, so let's get on to some news and updates.
Right on. Well, Drew, I know you just spent this last weekend yelling into a microphone for the College Nationals out at Rock Creek. So how did our local schools come out?
Yeah, that's right. Hometown Heroes did super good. Really proud of Brevard College. They got second place in the varsity omnium. Cole Punchard took commanding wins in cross country and in short track, while Cameron Mader won the downhill. So super, super awesome home court advantage there. Appalachian State University in Division I club, we had Madison Maloney. She took commanding wins in cross country and in short track as well. And Paul Vrouwenvelder did super good in cross country. And that got Appalachian State University third place in the Division I club for the Omnium.
Right on.
Aside from that, Colorado Mesa University, they won the Omnium for varsity, and they won the numbers game. They were super consistent all the way around in every discipline. They had some good representation, and hats off to those guys.
Made the big drive out from Colorado. I mean, of course it is College Nats, so they brought their A game.
That's right.
Well, big news out of the G5 Trail Collective over in Old Fort. Well, kind of two big news is, one, they got $2.5 million to build some trails. That is amazing.
And they didn't waste any time putting that money to work. The G5 just announced that the construction has started on the new Lower Heartbreak extension.
Yeah, and for those of you who are psyched, but then you're like, wait, where would Lower Heartbreak extension be? Well, if you've ridden Heartbreak, you might not notice, especially if you're in a party train with your buds. But towards the bottom, before you get to the switchbacks, if you remember that section, you're actually, you've T-junctioned into Star Gap and have made a right turn. So there, you're doing Heartbreak to Star Gap. This future Lower Heartbreak extension will do a little switcheroo on you, so stay sharp.
Yeah, it's, you know how bad I am with directions? This one's already squirreled my brain a little bit, so this is a really good explanation. So yeah, you're actually going to make a left onto Star Gap, and then when it drops onto Jarrett Creek Road, where you'll make a right, and then according to the map, the Forest Road will turn into a single track, thus being the Lower Heartbreak extension, and that will run you down to the Fonta Flora Trail.
Yeah, and looking at the topo on my Pisgah Map Company map, it looks like there's going to be a little up after the end of Jarrett Creek when you're on the trail, but finishing off on around about a 500 to 600 foot descent. Sounds real cool. If you've ridden Holly Springs Trail, or more commonly known as Sinkhole in the Wilson Creek Zone, the crew that did the work on that is who's doing this. And it's like kind of a combo of Black Diamond and GeoSculpt trail designs.
I mean, I like ending a ride with a 600 foot descent. And according to G5's posts, they're looking to wrap up this trail project in spring 2024, which is kind of right around the corner.
Yeah, it'll be here before we know it.
Sub half a year.
Yeah. As race season has wrapped up, we need to touch base on our local hero, Nick Bragg. Nick, we had him on the podcast a couple episodes ago, which is like, you know, almost a year ago at this point because of how long we slacked. But you know, he was on because he was going to chase for the crown of Pisgah again. Well, he's been crowned again, making him into the small handful of racers who have had multiple crown belt buckles.
Wow, that's super impressive. The one multiple KOP winner that comes to my mind would be Sam Kerber. I'm sure there's others, but man, that's it's definitely an elite club.
Yeah, yeah, multiple King of Pisgahs is something impressive. And earlier on this year, when speaking with Nick, he was really at a crossroads between doing some rally car races or going full in on King of Pisgah. And I said, dude, like, it'd be really cool if you had two of them. And he's like, okay, I'm doing it, which led us to this. So I'm real psyched on him. He texted me a little bit ago. He's actually at a metal show at the Orange Pool tonight. So I'm psyched for him on that. All right, Drew, let's circle back to that cool 2.5 mil that the G5 was recently awarded. So that was actually part of a much larger fund of $25 million, and that came from the North Carolina General Assembly's 2023 to 2025 budget. So the G5 was not alone in that, and many of some of our favorite towns and counties across North Carolina were also given funds to help continue or build new trail growth in their areas.
So how did this surprisingly drop such great trail support? Well, that's this week's subject. Maybe you've seen some ads or social media posts mentioning the Year of the Trail. Well, we've got some of those key members from Year of the Trail on the mic, and definitely some voices that you're going to know and recognize, and that we're very excited to have here pushing for new trail advocacy.
All right, we are here at an odd location for the Pisgah podcast. We're here at Burn Peak. So, Seth, thanks for hosting us.
Happy to have you.
And we're here to talk about Year of the Trail. And if a lot of people aren't familiar with it, we're going to get into that. But if you are, awesome. Glad you're following along and helping support that. But who here, Daniel, you're here as well. You are a familiar voice that we've had on the podcast before with some Pisgah area Sorbus stuff. But so Daniel, kind of tell us what we're doing. Who do we have here as our special guest?
So we have Seth Alvo and Beth Hiley. Beth is up here from Valdez, which, if you're not familiar with where that is, it's a town between Morganton and Hickory, just off of I-40. Beautiful place in Burke County. And so we're up here. Beth has played an integral role in Year of the Trail and making all of that happen. And so we just want to talk about what Year of the Trail is, why it's important, and, you know, why it matters to trails in North Carolina. And, you know, of course, all of us riding mountain bikes.
All right, awesome. So Beth, welcome up to this side of the mountain. Do you get up this way often?
No, I don't get up this way that much. I kind of do Old Fort to Valdez to Hickory, and I've been working on a Valdez Lakeside Park 300-acre area for about 5 years now, and we're working to get some new mountain bike trails built there. And, you know, volunteers, it's always trail maintenance, trail building, or whatever, so it's like I'm always staying at home these days. I don't get to venture out much, but we've got an awesome place going down there and excited what we can bring to the community and to those coming to check out Valdez.
Awesome. Wonderful. Well, what exactly is your involvement with Year of the Trail? Because for most people, they just see it as an Instagram account. There's been some great videos posted. There's been some other stuff going on that has kind of told people what it is, but no one's really like heard a voice or a face kind of behind the project. So kind of let us know what's going on.
Yeah, I'd be glad to tell you how this all came about. There's a huge backstory to it all. As most of us, we started being trail users before we became trail builders or trail maintainers, and that was my role. And then I got involved in the Fontaflora State Trail. That's a 100-mile trail that will run from Morganton to Asheville when it's complete. There's about 30 miles on the ground now. But once you start looking at how am I going to fund this next trail, my volunteers are wearing out and I need money to get this on the ground quickly, you learn that there's not any sources of money in the state of North Carolina. There's one federal fund that comes through with the Recreational Trails Program, but that's only about $1.5 million for across the state. So I started talking to some people. Some conservation groups were looking at things. The Conservation Fund in Raleigh, Mountains to Sea Trail, Foothills Conservancy of North Carolina. And we all started talking, how can we get the state to provide funding for trails and all kinds of trails? Hiking, biking, paddle, equestrian. Let's get some money to the trails across the state. We have 12 state trails with no funding available for that. So we knew we were going to have to ask legislators for money, but we didn't think that they saw the big picture of trails. Just like we are out there enjoying trails and understand the benefits of health, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, social, all those things, and what it brings to a community, we get it, but we knew we were going to have to educate the legislators. And to do that, we came up with this idea of a 1-2 punch, like let's tell about a big celebration and have people talking about trails and having everybody have many events all across the state in all 100 counties. And once legislators see how big a deal this is across the state, then they'll be more likely to fund us. And that's exactly what happened. And we're continuing on for more.
Oh, that's awesome. Something important that you mentioned is legislators understanding how important trails and they are to the users and, you know, ultimately their voter base. And there's a couple of, you know, elected officials that definitely have their hands in some trail projects, which is awesome to see. But as far as educating some of these maybe less familiar in outdoors and stuff like that, How has the reception been?
It's been fantastic because we've had some real champions in Raleigh. Some of the legislators, as you mentioned, know what's going on, and we've been very fortunate in Burke County with Representative Blackwell. He has sponsored 3 state trails that we have in our area and a new regional trail, and is down there on our side telling his cohorts, you know, we need this. This is what it can do for your small towns. We are a very small county in Burke and could use some economic impact opportunities with our factories leaving, whether it be furniture or textiles. We need something new to come to our area. And that's what trails are bringing to us, whether it be a new bike shop in town, whether it be a new brewery. It's making things happen, as well as just people being excited about something. Like, they've been kind of down since everything's leaving town, and to have something new to come in, a new generation, and kids staying in their hometown, kids meaning young adults. We were just talking, I swore I'd never come back to Valdez once I got out of there, and now it's like, I love it. I cannot believe I ever had that mentality.
Yeah, that's something important that a lot of people don't realize is, you know, once you move away from somewhere and experience your life, and then something awesome pops back up, it kind of like, oh, wait, what have I been missing? So we've got Daniel and Seth here. You know, this is a year of the trail project, and, you know, both Daniel and Seth are mountain bike industry veterans. And so how do these guys get involved?
Well, so thank goodness they did get involved. And this is how that turned out to be. We got the Year of the Trail designated. It is the law. And so Year of the Trail passed through the House and the Senate with flying colors, declaring that 2023 would be the Year of the Trail. We were just a bunch of volunteers, the same group that was starting the Great Trail State Coalition, asking the state for funding. We're then going to try to figure out how to do this big campaign, doing our jobs, whether they were paid or volunteer jobs for our own area. We're going to have to try to figure out how to launch this giant campaign across the state. And so we had ideas, but we didn't know about social media or design or YouTube or all this thing that had to happen. We were fortunate to get some money from North Carolina State Parks and Visit NC and the Department of Natural and Cultural Resources. And from there, we started to look at who gets it. So we don't just need a firm that knows how to do videos or a firm that knows how to do social media. We need somebody who lives trails and knows what this is all about. So we found Backslope, and they have just like been amazing. This could be dead in the water without them. So we've been so pleased that they've been our partners in all of this.
Wonderful. Seth, you and Daniel created Backslope, but prior to that, you've had your years of YouTube experience. And how did you get involved originally with Year of the Trail and kind of getting all this rolling?
So Dan and I had worked together for years, just doing the YouTube thing and communication. And we have very different backgrounds. Dan's on the written end, and actual bike industry. And I'm on the YouTube end, kind of communicating with the public, with the kind of massive mountain bikers that are out there. And Year of the Trail reached out to me to just see if I had anything to say. And we had done monthly Zoom meetings, and we were talking about different things. And finally, Iona had asked me, she's part of the coalition, my contact, the one who had reached out to me, is there any way you can help us run this thing? And I said, well, actually, yeah, there is a way that I can do that. But, you know, obviously I can't do it alone. Dan does most of the work. Dan does the heavy lifting, the day-to-day. And with his background in journalism and my background in digital media, we can kind of put that together and run this. And, of course, Dan's on the board of Pisgah Area Sorba. And I've funded trail projects. We've both seen trails go from not there to there, or you know, good to better. And so it's kind of perfect. Year of the Trail sort of has the same exact goal as I do day to day, maybe not completely with trails, but I'm trying to make mountain biking a better sport. I'm trying to educate people on it. This is the same thing with trails. We can leverage this message by getting individuals in North Carolina to understand why trails are important and why they're beneficial. It makes it easier for legislators to do their job. There could be legislators that already are on board with it, but their constituents just don't understand it. It'd be a massive education campaign. If we have resources out there, if we have videos out there that explain different concepts, people can actually take that to the theoretical meeting that they're going to, trying to make their point. And, you know, we can make their point a lot easier because we've edited something together and crafted a message. And so these are resources that everybody can use, not only in 2023, but going forward.
All right, Daniel, when Seth wanted to bring you in on this and you started getting involved, how did you see this playing out? Like, what did you see as an important thing to take from this from as a North Carolina resident?
I think the biggest thing I saw as being important was reaching all different people. You know, it's really easy, I think, and this is something I've always thought throughout the years I've worked in the mountain bike industry. It's, you know, it's basic marketing, but it's a lot more to that because, you know, trails change people's lives. But if you look at the pool of people that already use trails, and that's the only people you talk to, you know, just like when you're at a bike brand, if you only work with the people who already own your bikes, and that's the people you market to.
Like an echo chamber.
Yeah, it's an echo chamber. You're not going to grow anything, right? But if you create a bigger pool and get more and more people interested in trails and take people out on trails and, you know, meet them where they're at, you know, and understand that not everyone's trying to be a rad trail user, or, you know, not everyone's here to shred, and that's totally okay. There's a lot of people that just want to get out and go on a walk. And if you just want to go walk on a greenway, that's awesome. And if you want to go ride the most technical trail in Western North Carolina, that's really awesome too. And, you know, with that, the other big component of it is working with all the trail users to understand that all of this is important. You know, there's a lot more to it, and it's a more complicated process than just building really technical mountain bike trails. There has to be something for everyone, no matter age, ability, or interest. And by creating that pool and getting more interest in trails overall, then naturally we're going to be able to start building trails that suit each individual, you know, group of people as well. You know, the people that are more interested in technical stuff and the people that are more interested in the easy stuff, because there's just a bigger pool. There's going to be more interest and more advocacy behind trails, and in turn, more funding for trails, you know, in an ideal world.
So North Carolina has 100 counties. And growing up, I grew up in Richmond County, which is in the Sand Hills, and I'm early 40s. And, you know, so this was like mid early 80s. I can't think of ever really knowing of a hiking trail, like something that was like at a park, like a legit trail, like lots of ball fields, swing sets that were dangerous, stuff like that. So some counties are definitely more heavy outdoor recreating than others. So how do you guys see this spreading across the state?
Well, that's one of the things that we're tackling right now. You know, we're midway through Year of the Trail, and we have planned events all across the state, and we've worked with local leaders and local organizations in addition to our partners at North Carolina State Parks and Department of Cultural and Natural Resources to have events all over. And so there are these big anchor events that the state and state parks are working through, and PATH, that whole program. There's so many stakeholders involved. If you're kind of overwhelmed with all the acronyms, well, there's a lot of them. So apologies there. But, you know, there's literally hundreds of stakeholders with this Year of the Trail. And, you know, it's like, okay, so there's these big events that are happening, but we're also reaching out to smaller towns and smaller cities and, you know, giving people the resources that they need to put on an event. One of the big things is like people may not know how to put on a trail event, right? And, you know, event doesn't have to be something huge. It doesn't have to be tents and flyers and marketing or anything else. You can get some people together, go on a hike, or, you know, advertise, hey, group hike here, 9 a.m. It's easy. It's, you know, 1 to 2 miles. We're going to go check out the flora and fauna on this trail. And yeah, engaging all of these counties. And now as we've gotten, as I was saying, halfway through the year, we're seeing where more events are and where less events are. And we've had events in the vast majority of every county in North Carolina. Some, like if you look at Wake County and Burke County, have had many, many events, and others, not as many. On our website, we've had over 500 events published, and there's still a number to go. But leveraging our contacts and local resources and encouraging people and providing examples of other events that people are doing is a key way that we're getting these events. There's also every month, there's a cities, towns, and counties meeting that the Great Trail State Coalition puts on. And the Great Trail State Coalition, if you don't know, is the organization that is over Year of the Trail. And the goal is what Beth has already talked about, but it's also in branding North Carolina as the Great Trail State. So working to get all of these events is quite a task, and getting all the cities, towns, and counties, it's basically this list of leaders and local government officials and everything else. And once a month, there's a lunchtime meeting and a few hundred people sign on to that meeting and learn what everyone else is doing. In addition to that, there's a community toolkit on the website that has how to put on a hike, flyers, you know, all the assets that anyone needs to put on an event and brand it with North Carolina Year of the Trail.
Nice. That's a lot.
It's a whole lot. And, you know, you mentioned like how it started out and what we saw it looking like. I mean, everything has snowballed and it has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's starting out, Seth and I look at it, it's like, okay, it's like these very simple things that need to happen. And, you know, I think Beth can maybe tell how many people were in the Great Trail State Coalition when everything started, and there's many more now. You know, we've got local businesses, there's trail builders, there are conservation organizations, there are municipalities. All these people are like, okay, trails matter, so we want to be part of this coalition. And everything's just snowballing. We're working with another firm that's handling, you know, certain aspects of marketing that we have them on board for. And, you know, they're doing some of our graphic work and everything else. And it's just kind of, it's really cool how much it's grown.
Awesome. Beth, we are fortunate to live in the mountainous area of North Carolina. But for those in more of the eastern part of the state, there are some great trail networks. But what's interesting about what I've learned from Year of the Trail is how a trail doesn't just have to be like a dirt path in the woods or something. So talk to me a little bit about how, for those who are in like Brunswick County and out on some of the coastal areas, can look at trails as another option.
Right. So by trails, we're talking about muscle-powered trails, whether that be hiking, biking, paddling, equestrian. And in the eastern part of the state, there's some different options with the East Coast Greenway, which is a paved greenway proposed in the works. I think we have more miles in North Carolina than anywhere else that runs from Maine to Florida. So those folks will be able to get out on the coast and get on this greenway and use it for transportation. Another aspect that trails can bring areas is for transportation. There's also for the Mountains to Seas Trail, which goes from the mountains to sea, had one route that is now having a second crescent route that's dipping down to kind of get more of the Sandhills area and take care of their those folks down there. But again, the goals of Year of the Trail and what listeners can do to help is have everyone you know try a trail. Everyone listening is already a trail user, but just look at your neighbor, look at your uncle, somebody that hasn't been out on a trail before that's afraid to, help them get out on a trail and explore, whether it's biking or maybe you've always been a runner on trails. You should try paddling. We want everyone in North Carolina to get out on a trail or a new trail or find ways to be outside. After that, we want tourism to blossom across North Carolina. It's already there, and we don't necessarily have to bring everybody in from other states, but go explore North Carolina through trails. And, you know, talk about going to the coast. Get over to Transylvania County. Go wherever and explore North Carolina, and let's help each other out. After that, we've gone on and on about legislators, but if you have a trail in your area or you want a trail, let legislators know. They need to have reinforcement that we are grateful for what you have done and we want more. In that 2021 long session, when we all started with a group of five, we ended up with $29.5 million for state trails. We're going back more for this time in the 2023 long session to get $25 million would be great for all trails across the state. So any mountain bike alliance could apply for mountain bike trail money. My little Friends of the Valdez Rec could apply for funding for trails. So we want to keep those legislators, and then Daniel kind of mentioned we want trails for everyone. So make sure that everyone can get out there, and they're free. You shouldn't have any burden, even if you want to go barefooting. I hiked with a guy today who was barefoot, saying that that was grounding him. We had too many rubber-soled shoes. So we want just everybody listening, you can be a part of this. Daniel and Seth have helped us out with the branding, and so our committee and funds have taken care of the big picture. Maybe you've seen the billboards. Maybe you've heard Richard Petty on the radio. You've seen us in magazines. You can order our T-shirts. So we're taking care of the big picture so it's in everybody's minds. But then you can, as Daniel was saying, have an event, whether it's just a small weekend ride. You could we're doing a 365-mile challenge in Valdez, walk a mile a day on a trail. So we need the grassroots effort to make things happen across the state, and invite your legislators to any groundbreakings or ribbon cuttings you have.
That is definitely some important things to do, because a lot of times you forget about these higher level elected officials and stuff, and you know they need to know what's going on in the community, and that's a good way to keep getting them involved. One thing you mentioned that caught my ear was paddling. And not only is a trail like a path in the woods or a greenway, but there are water trails. So talk to me a little bit about that.
We have four state trails that are paddle trails, the French Broad River State Trail being one of those, and they need funding. I mean, you think you just have float down the river, what else do you need? But they need trailheads just like everybody else, and a place to put your canoe or kayak in there. They need mileage markers. Once you start flowing, depending on where you are, you could be washed down and like, where am I going to need be next? So you could use some trail markers along the way. So that is another thing to look at. And I also just wanted to step back and talk about what Daniel was talking about. Our end game here is to promote North Carolina as the great trail state. And we were fortunate enough, I was on the Weather Channel this year to talk about us being the great trail state. And that was the first time I thought, geez, I'm going to have to justify this to people outside of North Carolina as to why we are the Great Trail State. I need a convincing argument, because I thought about what do we have in Colorado or what's up in Maine, and what is different about us and what makes us stand apart is our diversity. You can be in the mountains, the Piedmont, or the coast. You can be in a remote area that you're bushwhacking, or you can be on a nice urban greenway where everybody is just like rollerblading or going along with their fluffy little dog. We've got all kinds of, as you talked about, paddle, equestrian, hiking, biking, running, all types of trails. So it's just like our diversity, again, that we've got it. You can be someone who's wanting to lose weight or recover from knee surgery and need to take it easy, or you can want to scramble up a bunch of rocks. So from beginning to advanced, we've got something for everyone here in North Carolina, and that makes us the Great Trail State, no doubt about it.
Right on. Seth, you're kind of, I'm not quite the outcast here, but you weren't born in North Carolina.
No.
So what have you learned about all of this process? Because like, you're kind of getting like a good broad view of the entire state, all 100 counties.
Sure. It's made me think about a lot of things. Like, for example, you can go anywhere in North Carolina or any state for that matter. You're going to find tennis courts. You're going to find baseball fields, playgrounds, all sorts of outdoor recreation infrastructure, and people using it to varying degrees. And having funded trails, they're a better deal. They just are. And it actually doesn't matter where you are. In the mountains, of course, it's really easy to justify. You can build a trail that goes up the mountain. You have a vista. But there are lakes, too. There are also just trails that people want to walk their dogs on. And everywhere in North Carolina, you will find trails and you'll find people using them. But to varying degrees, like I said, there are places that are sort of trail vacuums, and there's still people that want to walk their dogs. There's still people that want to get exercise. And I can't find a single example of money being spent on a trail and there being a bad outcome, you know, people not really liking it. There are people that don't really see the value. Of course, coming from where I did, which was New York, especially on Long Island, we have trails, but it's not really a conversation. It's just something we kind of take for granted. Growing up, I just thought trails appeared there. I just thought that they were just there. It's a path through the woods. Everybody takes this path. It's a trail. I didn't know they had to be maintained. I didn't know that they were planned out by actual trail building companies. I didn't know what types of tools and machinery were used to build them. All that has been a learning experience throughout my YouTube career, seeing it from the back end. And when you think of trails as just another piece of outdoor infrastructure, and you weigh the cost of other things and how much you have to maintain it and the diversity of people that can use it, it's clear that trails are kind of a no-brainer. And so the main thing that I've learned, if you want to just boil it down to one thing, it's how good of a deal trails are if you're trying to spend public money for the public good.
I mean, it is a great return on investment. I think one of the biggest challenges is some people don't see it because, you know, they don't go there on a Saturday and see, like, you know, 60 kids out there for a soccer game or something. But no. over the course of like a week, there's going to be a lot more users than just that weekend event.
Well, like the other day I ran into you at Chestnut Mountain, and when you're out there, you feel like you're all alone.
Yeah.
You don't see another soul. And then you get down to the parking lot and the whole parking lot's packed.
I mean, yeah, it took me like 10 minutes to like scooting back and forth to try to like find a place to slide into.
And it hits you how many people are actually using it and enjoying it. And more importantly, the amount of people that came there just because they wouldn't be there if it wasn't for the trail. And, you know, as Beth said earlier, physical health, mental health, we know all the benefits. We are an echo chamber in this room. We know the benefits of trails. I don't have to tell it to you. But when you're talking to somebody who might be skeptical or doesn't understand the benefits, the economic benefit is the easiest one to sell to them because it's impossible to argue with. None of those people would have been in that parking lot if it wasn't for the trail. They're going to go to the gas station. They're going to go get something to eat. It's a really good selling point to start with. And then you can, it's pretty apparent the mental health and physical, you know, there's so many benefits to trails, but that's the one that's, you can just see.
Yeah. And there's definitely other prime examples of like Chestnut Mountain this past weekend, like go to DuPont on the weekends, parking lot's packed, you get into the woods and then you're in solitude. So, you know, just because a parking lot's packed doesn't mean that, you know, you're not going to be able to find your place in the woods. But it's just great to see that level of amount of interest of all these different user groups. Because when we were out there on Sunday at Chestnut Mountain, I saw some runners, saw some dog walkers. Obviously, there's a bunch of mountain bikers. You know, it's just awesome to see that coming together. And that area didn't have anything before that. Unfortunately, the world had a global pandemic, and that led a lot of people to seeking outside activities. And with that came lots of more trail users. And some of us who are used to playing outside more often than others are experienced with that. But it seems like it opened up a door for a lot of people to join what it is that we do. But it seemed like a lot of people weren't educated on how to do it or some of the best practices. So that seems like a good benefit of what Year in the Trail can have is an educational component of how to go do these things and to do them with best practices.
Yeah. Not just best practices, but, you know, and I guess this is best practices, but being safe and being comfortable doing whatever activity someone chooses. There are a lot of people, and especially people in, you know, historically disadvantaged and underserved populations that have not had access to trails the way that many of us have. And, you know, I think a lot of people might on the surface be like, well, there's trails there. Anyone can go use them. Well, some people don't feel safe using trails. Some people have been told historically, like, don't go in the woods. That's where bad things happen. And, you know, that at one point in time was probably very accurate. But nowadays it's very different. And trails are, you know, that's generations and generations. And educating people that trails can be safe and they can be this amazing opportunity and way to get out and reap these mental health benefits and physical benefits, and for people to feel safe doing it, and for people to have organizations and groups and others that they can connect with to do that, that's a huge component of this. You know, with some of the events we're working on with our big events page, the idea is like, get connected to other people in your community. Like Beth said, you know, it's just like, you can find someone else to go hiking with and, you know, take someone on a hike. And, you know, so not only that, but also looking at the educational component of like, hey, there may not be trash cans out here. If you're going out into the woods, your phone's not going to work in a lot of places. And if you lose your keys on the trail, there's no one that's going to help you out except yourself. And, you know, in like certain situations, you're in a park and it's a very front country setting and you don't have the same risks that are in a back country setting. And so we're working to help educate with some of this content. And, you know, also like there's a lot of people that don't understand there's no trash cans in the woods. And, you know, like you need to keep your dog on a leash in most everywhere in the state when you're on a trail, because not only for the dog's safety and, you know, your dog not running off, but for other user safety and, you know, interacting with wildlife and everything else. And just helping educate people on these principles and, you know, how to get out on trails safely breaks down a lot of barriers. And that's really important for this. And not only that, it creates more responsible trail users that in turn want to help others be more responsible trail users. And it kind of grows, you know, like we're talking about, the pool of, you know, well-educated and happy trail users.
One other thing that I would like to add to the education component is I always like to stress that recreation leads to conservation. So the more people we can get outdoors, hiking, biking, whatever it is, out in the woods and seeing what a feeling you get when you're out there and how beautiful the outdoors are and how we need more trails and more green spaces, then we'll have that many more advocates asking for protection of land and for more trails. So I just think that's important as far as making people feel comfortable to get outside, doing the leave no trace principles to protect our resources, but also that we're educating a whole new generation or just regular people who haven't been out. They're already as old as me, as in their 50s and never been outside. So just that element that like trails are conservation.
Yeah. And that's one thing I think about. And I feel like as I've gotten older and more in touch with the circle of, I don't want to call it circle of life, but the circle of balance within trail users and trail managers and property owners and stuff like that, is how to best like keep things in a positive space so that, you know, I know what the trail manager or the landowner expects, and I want to respect that and also help support that. You know, with all kinds of promotions, like, you know, we've had Love Trails on the podcast before about giving money back to your local trails that you use, as well as like Pisgaria Sorba, some of the other locations around North Carolina with other trail users and trail management groups. It's great to see how all this ties in together.
Yeah, I'm definitely in favor of all that. And I think I was, during the pandemic, I started a new Trailblazer Club for Burke County. And that was for high school students to start learning about what are all the different occupations related to trails, whether it's a trail building contractor or those who design trails, whether you're working for a conservancy and trying to protect land, teaching kids you need to start giving back. That, as Seth said, that he just thought trails appeared, that they were just there. But we want everybody to learn that that takes work. It takes work for volunteers or contractors to build that trail, to build them sustainably. There'll still be some maintenance, but maybe not as much maintenance, and that we need to protect these things and build this new generation of, if you're going to walk on trails, you need to help build them and maintain them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
that's super important. You know, it makes me think, you know, it's stewardship, right? And it's really so crucial to get more people out on trails and advocating for and stewarding for trails. And not only that, but to get a more diverse representation of people out on trails. You know, if you look at America, it's constantly becoming more and more diverse, which is an amazing thing. But if you look at trail users overall, it's much more slowly becoming diverse. And if we don't work to help others, you know, that maybe aren't exactly like us, or people that don't look exactly like us, get out on trails, then, you know, not only are we missing opportunities to connect with some really amazing people, but we're also going to have fewer stewards as time goes on. And that's less people to protect these resources.
Also, as Beth was saying, when recreation leads to conservation. Like, try to convince somebody to spend their own hard-earned dollars or allocate tax money to trails who's not using them, right? It's that simple. They're just not going to. But if they see some kind of a benefit from them, if they're having fun, if they're able to take their kids there, walk their dog there, get in better shape, or even just have a place to duck away from traffic and cars and noise and just kind of have a place for mental health, they're going to see more of a benefit in it, and they're going to say, oh, wait a minute, they're going to build a bunch of houses over there, or they're going to bust that open and turn it into a quarry and mine all the rocks. I could fund this, and it could become a trail, and it could be conserved, and we can keep using it. And it's really hard to get somebody on board with that unless they're having fun there. Like, it's about fun, like specifically fun.
Yeah. I mean, we're here because of fun.
Yeah.
Right. I think that's one of the reasons why so many mountain bikers are so passionate about trails and, you know, their bikes. You know, there's not many other sports where I think people get so into everything and, you know, just like live and breathe it, because it's just a lot of fun. And, you know, you can sell fun pretty easily.
Yeah. I mean, I pay for fun.
Yeah, I pay for fun.
All right. So Daniel, I asked Seth, you know, who's not a native, to hear what he's kind of learned about things and experience. But as a native, you've covered the state through mountain biking and other various things. What surprised you, and what have you learned?
It's been incredible to see how much and how far trails have come even in the last 10 years. I think talking to anyone I know, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, if we had thought, been like, hey, there's going to be this year of the trail, and it's going to be a statewide movement to get people on trails, and there's going to be money behind it, and we're advocating to get legislators to vote to invest more in trails, like, it wouldn't have even been a conversation. It would have just been like, that sounds really weird, man. Okay. But it's really been cool to see how many people have gotten on board with it, and how many people have bought into, but, you know, like, honestly, like, gotten really stoked on Year of the Trail. Not just that, but just trails in general, seeing where communities have gone with trails. Like, every day I'm seeing something about, oh, this person's building trails here, this person's building trails there. You know, I know probably 7 or 8 different trail building companies just in North Carolina, and they're all booked out a year at least with work. And, you know, I mean, that's not isolated to North Carolina by any means, right? But it is very, very strong here, and they're all able to do work locally if they want to, you know, and it's everything from greenways to technical mountain bike trails to, you know, anything you can imagine, right? You know, trails through neighborhoods, because everyone's realizing the value of trails. And the other cool thing, you know, some of the other cool stuff that I've seen is just how many different ways people are getting involved with trails. I feel like 10, 15 years ago, I felt like I knew most of the people that were key players, at least in the Western North Carolina mountain bike community. And it has grown to an unimaginable place now. There are so many people, you know, there's new people that we meet every day who maybe they moved here, maybe they've been here all along, but now they're really excited about trails and they want to figure out how to get involved and how to give back and how can I go to a trail day? Or like, I just want to go ride one of these new places. I mean, there's new trails opening up all the time. I think in the past, 3 weeks we've had, or maybe it's 2 weeks, we've had two new trails open with the backcountry trails at Chestnut Mountain and then the Bernard Mountain over in Old Fort. I mean, and there's stuff happening all the time like that.
Yeah.
And it used to be an uphill battle figuring out how to get trail built. And there's a template for it now. There are people that are doing amazing work, you know, especially you look at between Pisgah Area, Sorba, the G5, the Northwest North Carolina Mountain Bike Alliance, Rocky Knob, Christian Jackson is, you know, just done amazing work up there and setting an incredible example.
I think he kind of set the bar for everyone.
Yeah, he's set the bar very high. But I remember there on the first dig day, I was in college at Appalachian when Rocky Knob was conceptualized. And it was like there were people that didn't think it was a good idea and didn't think that it was going to go anywhere. And now you go there on any given weeknight and there's a line of kids waiting to ride the pump track and the parking lot's full with people on the trails. And it's like, if you want an example of why to invest in trails, go to Boone, check out Rocky Knob, and there you go.
I think you hit the nail on the head, Daniel, talking about how many people across the state now are involved in trails and how many people you have met. That is the point of the Great Trails State Coalition, to speak with one voice for all the trails, all the users. The North Carolina Horse Council is big in the Great Trails State Coalition with us, and Sorba is a member. And it's all of us coming together and speaking together and asking the state all at once that we want this funding, we want this support, we want to be the Great Trail State. When before everyone was in their silos saying, oh, I want this in Burke County or I want this at the coast. There was 100 different asks for a million different things, but now we're all together, one voice, supporting each other, not going off on our own and saying, we need this for North Carolina. That's it. It's important. And we're sticking together. It's been awesome to meet all the new folks and all the new players.
Yeah, I think that really highlights an underlying theme with a lot of things, and it's working together in partnerships. And, you know, we've seen the Great Trail State Coalition grow to, I think we're almost to 80 members now. And it is everyone working together. You talk to the Backcountry Horsemen of Pisgah, you know, you talk to the folks that are, you know, in the leadership there, Tom Thomas and Christine and Rick, and they're like, yeah, we love getting out, and they can get out and clear trails in Pisgah that very few other people can get to because they can get back there with chainsaws on their horses. And, you know, they might be deep into South Mills and they'll be some of the first to say, well, we can't do it without Pisgah Area Sorba. And you talk to people at Pisgah Area Sorba and they're like, well, we can't do it without the Backcountry Horsemen, and we can't do it without the Carolina Mountain Club and Pisgah Conservancy. And like, it's everyone working together. And that's one of the big things. And that's how we're going to get more funding for trails in North Carolina and, you know, work to continue to make North Carolina the Great Trail State.
Awesome. Well, so 2023 is designated as Year of the Trail. It's a law. What happens next? Where do we go from here?
Well, as we educate people and craft this message, there has to be something at the end to sort of take action. Not only that, but we don't want 2023 to be the end of this discussion. We want it to outlive 2023. And so all the videos and content that we've made will live on the internet for people to use as resources. But also, at the end of the year, we want to have some kind of call to action, either to write to your local congressman or to continue the conversation. And we're working on that. By November, December, by the end of the year, we're going to actually have more explicit instructions on how to do that. I know, like, I don't have internet where I live. I have Starlink, and there was some kind of legislation that was going to affect that. And they sent out a message to all the Starlink customers and said, here, click here and write all the reasons why having internet by you is important and how them changing the bands is going to affect your internet and affect your life negatively. And then you click send and it goes out to the powers that be. we would like to do something kind of similar to that. I don't know if it's going to be exactly that, but it has to be some kind of call to action that makes it easy for people to make their opinions known.
Yeah. You know, we've got all these different user groups scattered across the state from multiple users, and giving them one voice to go to our legislator and say, hey, we need funding for this, this, and this. Is a strong statement.
It is indeed. And I think the other thing that we've been doing this year that we'll be able to launch going into 2024, being the Great Trail State, we've said it about 70 times here today, is the economic impact, that what it's going to bring to the communities of North Carolina. And so this year, Daniel talked about us already having 500 and some events so far this year, more events. And we are learning through Western North Carolina with Made by Mountains and their Building Outdoor Communities program that we need to be measuring our trail usage and what that's bringing to a community. We've done that at Valdez this year. We don't have money for trail counters, but we've been using trail cameras to capture how many people are coming and going on every trail and in the parking lot. We've set up and done 3 full-day surveys. We have surveyed 500 people. How often do you come here? Where did you come from? Do you go to town to eat, get gas, and shop once you've been here? And we just released a report in our town of 4,000 people that to Valdez Lakeside Park, a 300-acre park with trails and mountain bike trails to come, that we are bringing in 140,000 visitors a year to the park. And that's making an economic impact to the town of Valdez of $1.24 million as far as shopping, increased revenue from property taxes, health of the citizens. Before we had this park, people were driving to Hickory or Morganton to walk on a greenway. Now they can stay home, and now people from Hickory and Morganton are coming to us. So a lot of education, like, get these numbers. We love the stories of how someone got healthy, but for a lot of people, it's about the numbers. How much are you saving, bringing in, or spending?
Beth, over what time period are those numbers?
So we have collected data from January until May 31st to extrapolate how many that would be over the year. But for the last 5 years, we've kind of done hit and miss data and looked at that as well.
That's an incredible number.
Yeah. You want to hear a number that I don't think anyone knows yet. But so Pisgah Area Sorba is working with Backcountry Horsemen and the U.S. Forest Service to put some trail counters in Pisgah. And there are some of those out there right now, and we're not telling anyone where they are. But last week was one of the first weeks that we had a counter in a fairly heavily used location, and it rained all last week. It was a downpour. I didn't even want to walk from my house to my car. And just in that week of constant rain, there were over 500 trail users at that one location.
That's pretty impressive, because no
one I know went out either. Yeah. Like, I live right near the trails, and
so that's all from like the half a day where it didn't rain.
Yeah, and it still wasn't even great trail conditions, right? And that's a whole nother conversation. But you know, that's a lot of people, and if you take that, and you know, we take that, and they're doing studies in other places in North Carolina too, like in Valdez and Rocky Knob. We can take all these numbers and work across the state to really quantify the impact that trail users are having and the impact that trails are having on communities.
And another example I have of that in Burke County, I've been working on the Burke River Trail. That's a new 20-mile trail to connect from Morganton and Hickory. And as I started working on this trail, I thought when it was complete, then we would see the economic impact that the trail was bringing, that then businesses would come, then homeowners would come. But just as I've been writing to landowners on big parcels saying, we're going to be doing this trail, what do you think about that? They're on board immediately, like, oh my gosh, we've been kind of waiting to do something. We have 11 acres in one town that, because the trail is coming through, the developer wants the trail in the middle of their property, have housing on one side and storefronts on the other side. We have a old mill in the town of Roadhiss that once we start about trail coming through, something's going to happen. They're going to convert that old mill to 120 apartments, which we really need in Burke County. So just the talk of trails start to get people excited. You don't always have to wait until they're in place and then they will come. It all happens together.
Yeah. I mean, all cream rises to the top. We've got some good examples of that happening with the Augusta Trail going from Brevard to Hendersonville. So that'll be awesome to see. Seth, I know that with your background, with your YouTube video, you do a lot of data-driven stuff. Like, you really study that stuff heavy. And what kind of data have you been seeing with some of this stuff?
Well, with Year of the Trail specifically, all we have right now are our views on the videos and the content we've been putting out, which is always growing. But with this campaign, one of the challenges is actually trying to measure how much of an impact it's actually having, because a lot of it's conversations everywhere. People are going to an event and then having a conversation about it. They're talking to people. We don't know how many people have actually learned about trails through this, through these side conversations that are impossible to measure. But we do hear about more trails popping up. We do hear about funding that wasn't there before. And let me tell you this, the conversations can't hurt. As Beth was saying, you're able to put a trail counter on a trail or a camera out, and you can extrapolate and try and explain to a city how much economic development they're getting from that project. But when it comes to educating people, it's a little more difficult. And to me, it seems like the type of thing that you just have to do. When I first started with my YouTube channel, all I had were views of videos. All I had were emails from people and messages. And of course, from that, you're saying, okay, all around the world, there's got to be some amount of people who have started mountain biking from this. But when I go out and I start talking to people, especially in an event, hundreds of people come up to me and say that they started mountain biking or that it changed their lives. And so I know from my YouTube channel that if you put content out there and people consume it and it has a message, it's getting out there and it's actually leveraging itself, because not only is the content providing valuable information for people, but those people are then parroting that information to others.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of content, Daniel, where is the best place to find all your Year of the Trail information?
Well, our social handles across all platforms is at GreatTrailsNC. And, you know, an interesting thing with that is we started all of these platforms like last November, and we've grown this entire brand essentially from ground zero. You know, the Great Trail State Coalition was already there, but we took, and when we came on board, Seth and I are just frantically registering all the domain names, you know, all the handles, everything else. It was a couple of days like, all right, let's make sure we get that one. That one's pretty close to it. Let's make sure we have that one too. And we need to do that. We need to start up email accounts for all of this. And, you know, just like putting all the infrastructure together. And it's like, all right, now I guess we need to start generating some content. And so, yeah, we've grown all that from zero to, you know, thousands and thousands of people following it now. I think the last video that we put out with Randolph County and a story about how they're working to increase their trail infrastructure there. And, you know, it's a lot of old mill towns in Randolph County, and it's a really cool story. But that video has been shared hundreds of times at this point. And, you know, that's a really interesting thing to me. It's like when someone, it's one thing for someone to like something. It's another thing for someone to actually share it, because it's like, okay, this is useful information that someone else is going to, you know, get something out of. And yeah, I think that's been really cool to see. The website is greattrailsnc.com.
Well, guys, Seth, thank you so much for letting us hang out here at Burn Peak. And Daniel, Beth, thanks for your time. And all of us out there will continue to use trails and try to share all the love and information that we can about those trails.
Thanks awesome. For having us on the show.
Thanks, Mike.
Wow. So, quote of the interview from me was by Seth, where he talks about how trails are a better deal. I used to use the same take when talking with municipalities about public skate parks, when there's all these overgrown ball sports complexes everywhere that go largely unused. They're busy on the weekends, but during the week there's nobody there. And sometimes you can only use them with reservations. So you can start to see that there are forms of outdoor recreation that are just simply a better deal financially. And that's not to say that those ball sports and playground parks out there don't belong. They totally do. But let's start connecting these parks with complexes with trails. Let's build trails wherever they fit. And I think that every new housing development ought to have a nature trail component as part of their planning. You know, as psyched as people like you and I are about new trails like the Lower Heartbreak Extension, that isn't a trail that's necessarily going to create new trail users. That's a trail for those of us that are already, like, Pisgah customers.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and like Daniel said, basic marketing is to reach those that aren't already consumers of your product. So here's my marketing quote: user-friendly trails create friendly trail users, and that's how we're going to keep this community growing.
Dude, you kind of wrap things up so good with that. That's a good little quote. I like that, Drew.
It came to me as I was writing it, so it's as genuine as it goes.
Nice. Well, it is fall time. Leaf peepers are flooding into the area, so try to have a little more patience driving about, even pedaling about. I'd say, like, pedaling some on 276 this past weekend was a little dicey and frustrating in some spots. So, you know, as leaf season is here, it also brings in some really great weather. And so, Drew, here is our weekly weather report for the next 10 days. This week, amazing fall temperatures, highs in like the mid to low 60s, lows getting down to some 40s. Friday looks like we might have a little bit of rain to maybe spice things up on Saturday morning if you're going out for an early ride. Weekend continues with partly cloudy or mostly sunny or sunny, depending on where you're at, but highs in the mid-60s, lows in the 40s. That's great mountain bike weather.
Yeah, it sounds good here. I'm actually going to go to Bentonville, where it's going to be in the mid-70s for the rest of that time. So you guys enjoy.
I mean, mid-70s isn't bad either.
No, I'm gonna totally relish the last few warm days I can possibly get on a bike.
Yeah, we'll do that. And guys, that is a wrap on this week's episode. And as always, you can find us on social media. Just search Pisgah Podcast. And we've got the web store going with shirts. And guess what? We are no longer out of water bottles. We have new water bottles, and they're available. I'll have them on the web store as soon as possible. And of course, we've got koozies, and all the orders come with sticker packs, and we'll probably give some more money to Pisgah Area Sorba from these water bottle orders. You can find that at pisgahpodcast.bigcartel.com.
And if you are celebrating Year of the Trail, then click subscribe. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. We've got old episodes up there. Check us out on iTunes, Spotify, whatever your favorite podcatcher is. Buy some Pisgah Podcast merch to support the show. And we have lots of content in the can coming up here, including a long-term product review, which is going to be a first here on the Pisgah Podcast.
Drew, I can't wait to hear your long-term product review of your new